This is Raphonics After Hours.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, dusk, dawn, other times of day, various. Welcome to Rack Addicts After Hours, episode 88. Blimey, we're getting through them, aren't we? You got Pete and you've got Ben here in your ears today. Thank you for tuning in to Rack Addicts. You can find us on Facebook at Rack Addicts UK, Instagram as well. Please let us know your thoughts and chime in, because we're going to have to do that quite a lot soon. On the horizon is Super Booth, but we'll get back to that later. I've come here fresh-ish from the Cornish coastline. It's been good to have a bit of a recharge, relax, and it feels like a bit of a full stop on the end of music retail, I think, having a bit of a holiday at last, after so long. But it's been good. There was beer, there was cycling, actually pretty good weather. It was perfect. So that's consumed my weekly update. Didn't have any YouTube to watch, which was good. Bit of a detox maybe there. But Pete, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so the Qubit Surface that I predicted that I would purchase by the end of the week on the last podcast, I didn't. And I swerved in a slightly different direction and I bought a couple of lesser modules.
A couple of?
Yes. So I bought two, shall we say, clones, or do we say, what do we say when people make mutable instrument copies or utilize the code and rework the hardware into different packages?
That's a very good question, given that they are open source. I mean, it's fine. They're not clones.
Yeah, I don't think
rip-offs.
There's a problem with it, but no. I just when there was a naming or a name.
They tend to be just micro mutable stuff because a lot of the theming is they just get smaller,
the smaller,
don't they?
Size. So yeah. I bought a Mu Grids.
Oh, yep. Gotcha.
And I bought a Monsoon.
That is clouds, but with a slider for each of the modes.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
So they're working out quite well. Well, I say that. The Monsoon's working out quite well. The grids, not so well.
Not
well,
why
because
not?
There was anything particularly wrong with the new grids. It's just the problem I had with the old grids, other than, I mean, the functionality was fine, but it was clocking it.
Okay, yeah.
Which is slightly problematic. It does have an input to take a clock signal, but it only works when you have got the speed knob, if you want to call it that, at zero.
That's kind of weird.
Well, as soon as you open the speed knob, it starts
doing its own thing,
clocking itself. Yeah. So when you put it to zero, it responds to the clock that's been inputted into the clock input.
Got to leave it there forever then.
But unfortunately, the rhythmical output that it can produce under those circumstances is vastly different.
Ah.
So when you have a clock input feeding into it from another source and it is responding to it, it really only seems to be capable with very rigid type of patterns, i.e. kind of fall to the floor, relatively boring type of stuff.
That is
and
quite
not
strange.
Much. As soon as that you open the throttle on the speed control so that it's clocking itself, then the patterns become a lot more abstract and you get things with real genuine swing.
That is bizarre.
And I haven't really worked it out. Again, it's mostly one of these
found out if that's how it's supposed to work.
Well, my original one, which is a genuine mutable instrument, does it. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a quirk and this one will be fine. But this one is exactly the same.
How irritating. Maybe somebody's made an alternative firmware. There's a lot of alternate firmwares out there, aren't there?
Possibly. I mean, that could be something to look into. But no, I'm thinking that I really need to find some sort of sequencer that has a lot more going for it.
Okay, here's a call to action for our Eurorack-friendly listeners. Pete is looking for, well, among other things, he has a dream of a small module, probably with an SD card slot on the front, small screen and an encoder and maybe 8-odd outputs. What this is going to do is just read standard MIDI files and chuck out gates on those outputs, just MIDI file, and it will loop and it will clock. And that's kind of it. There might be another mode where it can also do monophonic pitch and CV gate kind of stuff, potentially. Why not? Does such a thing exist? Please let us know, because Pete will be forever in your debt.
I don't believe something such as that currently exists.
Definitely
I have looked
isn't one in my
very
head.
Hard and done a lot of research. There may be other things that sort of do that, but they tend to be very multifunctional and have a range of stuff. And I just want something that is very good at sequencing drums.
The difficulty when I've had a quick look searching things like Eurorack MIDI file player, it just turns up with the Expert Sleepers.
Yeah,
the general CV.
Yeah.
And Distings do some other stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I want something that's going to be as an effective or sound, make the drum sound as effective as something like a Digitech. So it's got real interesting patterns.
Yeah, well, anything that you can program yourself on whichever DAW you choose.
Yes.
Micro SD them.
I've always suspected that drums are hard on modular, on Eurorack, if you want something a bit more interesting. I mean, typically,
lots of the techno stuff worked quite well, but that's always really simple.
Yeah, and again, it's very four to the floor. Yep. It doesn't have a lot of swing. It's not
a lot of it's just having a nicely shaped kick drum, really.
Yes, and so many times when you hear people doing Eurorack performances, they are very techno-y.
That does seem to be the default drum-based genre.
And there's got to be more. I mean, especially spending the amount of money it costs to build up a decent amount of Eurorack, there's got to be a way of getting more out of it.
Well, you could always go the method that I did for a little bit, which was just borrow our friend Sam Rushton and have a jam with a real live human drummer with real arms and feet.
Yeah, I've kind of considered that.
It's
I've
really good
about
fun.
Grooting somebody, but I genuinely need something. There's got to be something. So I thought maybe some of the more advanced sequences I might have to sort of splash out.
What, your Eloquence kind of genre, Squarp, Hermod, those kind of ones?
Well, I certainly thought about the Squarp. That looks like potentially it might be able to cope with something like
that.
I
think you can do MIDI files with that. They come in black faceplates.
Yes. No, I've already checked one. There is a secondhand one on eBay currently at the moment, eBay in the UK. Mm. But yeah, I have given that unit some consideration, but it's a fair chunk. It's another...
Yeah, it's got its fans, and from the tutorials I've seen, I don't think I'd agree with the workflow personally.
Well, this is my worry. Even if it's very capable, I don't want to invest in something that is really obtruse to program.
Mm, you have to learn it and spend ages with it just to get it happening.
You almost want a modular Digitech, something like that, as long as it's got pattern chaining.
1010, one of the 1010 musics.
Well, they've kind of split it into two modules, haven't you? You've got the sort of sample-y one, and you've got the kind of sequency one, but you have this...
Or then get the, not the blue box, the black box.
Well, that is most probably going to be on the cards anyway, but it's just a shame that it doesn't have a Eurorack version of it.
Yeah. Did they actually split them up? I thought they'd kind of...
Yeah, but the sampling one...
Is the bit box, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've got the Mark II, but it's purely just a sort of sampling sample playback. It doesn't have a lot of the sequencing facilities that the black box has. But I believe there is another Eurorack module that does. It's strange how Eurorack can command so much money for almost less. You pay more for less.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like there's a license fee for the format or anything. It's a little bit odd.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of things that feed into it. Obviously, a lot of the manufacturers are boutique.
Small operations.
Yeah, so they haven't got an economy of scale that they can employ and bring the pricing down. Plus the fact, depending on their reputation, they can charge the money, so they do.
Yeah.
You know, hence someone like Schwaemann. I mean, obviously Schwaemann's really nice equipment, but is it really that much nicer than a lot of other stuff?
Who knows? All of the Schwaemann owners that I know would say, yes, it is worth that much, but I don't know.
I've heard that things like IntelliGel are almost of that quality in some aspects. Mm. Something like Schwaemann now isn't available new, and the modules secondhand are going for absolutely eye-watering, ridiculous prices.
Classic vintage synth kind of syndrome there.
Well, we're talking £1,000 to £1,500 per module.
Yeah, and then there was that blank panel that I found in the classic eggshell colour, which was over £100 or something on Reverb.
For a blank?
Yeah, it was 2HP as well. Really stupid.
No, that really is... It just shows you how much rarity commands... Mm-hmm. I suppose you see it in so many other aspects, don't you? The ridiculous prices people pay for watches and cars and... Well, I mean, sports cars and things like that. The rarity breeds desire to have things...
Always the way. We've steered away from your week, since I think the bit of your weekly update was just, I didn't buy a Cubit Surface, and here we are. Is there anything else that we need to catch up on?
The other aspect of what I've been involved with has to be saved for when we get into the news.
Ah, yes, lovely stuff. And before we jump in that direction, I am currently staring at a sheet of plywood, nice plywood on the floor to preserve its flatness, but that means Pete is one step closer to case manufacture.
Oh, I also bought some more fittings. More...
you get your corner pieces and your latches and your hinges and
yeah, so I've got my corner pieces, I had the latches, I had the hinges, so I got the corner pieces and the handle, sort of a
excellent.
Sort of stretchy kind of got a steel
yeah.
sort of core and then it's mm-hmm. got a plastic outer
yeah.
sheath. I just need some right angle corner braces in black and no one seems to sell them, but they must be available because I have seen them on Eurorack cases.
Oh yeah, definitely. They'll be somewhere. Not bad. Well, maybe not for the next ModCaf, which is the Wednesday coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's a little bit close. I'm getting on really well, but I need something to put it all in.
Yeah.
So definitely, I wouldn't say 100% because anything could happen, but I would imagine October is going to be fine. That's early October.
Most likely, and we may maybe in the Westie. If not, we'll have a place anyway.
There's a limited space in the new venue.
Yes, just because it's a bit smaller and we don't want to get all too matey and up in each other's grills, so we just have a free Eventbrite thing and you just book. But if we've booked somebody as kind of a performer, they don't really need to.
What's your capacity there?
We do 12,
that's
so it's not a huge
amount.
That's
not exactly a lot of people, is it?
No, but then again, some of our meets were not especially well attended, but nevertheless, incredibly fun because we all know each other and it's just a good laugh.
Yeah, very sociable and I haven't seen any of those guys in...
Yeah, and the only time it would ever be disappointing to not have an amazing show would be if we did more of a gig. Speaking of that, I cannot reveal anything, but there are brewings of quite epic proportions. I'll tell you later, Pete, because it's going to be pretty cool.
Okay, I'll wait in trepidation.
There will be news on Rack Addicts in due course. Let's jump into the news. A quick sneak peek, I guess, for what's that going to be? Episode after next, potentially episode 90-ish. Superbooth is brewing 15th to the 18th of September in Berlin. And it's in person, real human beings there. So there'll be hardware, the usual stuff. If you want your video content, I'm sure there's lots of places on YouTube, but we're going to pick our favourite bits and pieces, as it's always a bit overwhelming, the amount of synth stuff that happens around that kind of time. But we'll let you know.
It'll be
know.
Interesting to see if there's a massive flurry of new releases and things, or whether it's a subdued event. It'd be interesting to see how well attended it is. I mean, is there any word on whether they've restricted the numbers or what sort of precautions they're taking?
See the event site for details.
Okay.
It's loading in front of me. It looks to be just as it always was.
Same venue?
Yes, the same place, which I can't... Fez, Berlin. That's the
one of the ways
place.
To gain access is via boat. You can take a river trip up to the
brilliant
venue.
But yeah, gigs, gear, synths, and a good time. It's going to happen, and we'll let you know if there are interesting bits and pieces that pique our interest. On that front, the first release has found my eyeballs, which is Vega, which is a 4 digital drum voice module thing with multiple outputs, editability, digital stuff, whatever. But they're coming in thick and fast. This one not particularly interesting for me, but I just thought I'd let you know the releases are coming in, or the pre-releases. This one anyway. The big tease. Have you heard about this one from Waldorf? So they have released a picture, which is definitely a 3D render of some kind of blue front panel with a big red button on it with the caption, "Welcome back, old friend," which might be teasing something Waldorf Q or microwave flavoured, according to the bods over at Synth Anatomy. But it looks like that's one big manufacturer that is going to be releasing something potentially large.
They're trying to get ahead of Behringer.
Oh, I forgot about that. On the digital stuff, they've definitely said something about PPG Wave, haven't they?
Yes.
Maybe they are. PPG Wave is going to be one step closer to the Waldorf territory, so that's probably a good point. Good point indeed. So those will be early kind of hybrid stuff, digital oscillators, and I think we've got analog filters in the microwave. I think that's how we went. Yes, Curtis chip filters and early digital stuff. Definitely got the fans, but we'll keep an eye on that one. I'm just going to quickly fire through the rest of the small nuggets I've got. There's quite a few. Rolly files for bankruptcy, and they've reorganized themselves as Luminary, which is probably something to do with their Lumi controller, which is, for them, it's been a success. Rolly haven't been doing amazingly well for a good while, to be honest.
I mean, we thought they were in trouble anyway.
Yeah, for a long time.
So are they a US-based company? I can't remember.
I believe so.
So I would imagine they filed Chapter 11, which means that they go into a kind of protected mode.
Mm-hmm. So Rolly Limited has gone into administration, and a new company, Luminary, has taken over all the IP, staff, products, brands, and assets. I think that was sort of funded, helped along, yeah, funding from Hoxton Ventures.
Well, if it's was a limited company, it's not a US company.
Okay.
So it sounds like it. I mean, UK uses limited, and Hong Kong uses limited, but I'm not sure what other countries might use the limited to describe a company formation.
It's based in London. Silly
okay,
me.
So if they've gone into administration, they've gone bust, fully bust.
Fully up the everywhere.
We don't have an equivalent in the UK of Chapter 11.
Right. So all support for their existing products will be done by Luminary, it seems.
Do you think they're going to depart from the rubbery key beds?
Looks like this is from the FAQ on their website. Can I still purchase Rolly or Lumi instruments? Yes, still available for purchase. So they're keeping it all happening, it seems. So here's the big question here. What is the future for Luminary? Luminary will not only focus on expanding Lumi to reach a growing community of home learners, but also plans to bring back the popular and award-winning C-board.
Was it the Equator software that it had to run with? It was a real pain in the backside to demonstrate that to any customers.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was along with one of my other pet hates for demonstrating instruments, demonstrating accordions, electric accordions.
Such a shame that we got lumped with the Roland accordions.
Well, I expect we have to take them. I had a very long conversation with a gentleman earlier today about one of the models, the one with all buttons.
Yeah.
And we were debating how many octaves the button version covered.
Who knows? I'm sure that was the most thrilling conversation.
Well, I had to go on a serious deep dive into the manual to really try and work it out.
Yeah.
But the keyboard version, if you can picture one of those in your...
Yep.
It has got two octaves.
Gotcha.
But if you get the button version, the buttons equate to three octaves.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure there's at least three people interested in that in the world.
Semitones, because your fingers have got to be all over the place. But I'm somewhat repulsed by accordions.
Absolutely. Same. Well, I can't imagine Rolly doing anything very exciting now as a Luminary, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like they've restructured, most probably got rid of a bunch of staff, maybe got into smaller premises, just really tucked down, sort of let that other limited organisation go and watch all the debt sail off into the sunset with it.
The difficulty is there is a certain market for that MPE, extra expressive piano-y type corner. All of the ones that cared about Rolly and actually enjoyed that experience bought them. Everybody else got a Harkin Continuum. Everybody else is waiting for the Osmos. And I can't see them actually converting somebody to go, ooh, yeah, that's actually really cool.
It was a really esoteric instrument.
Yeah.
And also it had that issue of getting baggy when it... Got old.
We had one with the bubble in it.
Yeah, the rubber would all go stretchy and horrible.
Yeah, not quite as terrible as that one soft touch rubber finish that seemed to plague lots of products like the KMI range and a couple of SE microphones that just turned into goo after a couple of years.
I think those sort of thin rubber finishes can get... I hate when they start peeling as well. Mm-hmm. When they sort of get all sort of patchy and it starts looking like a map.
They do look awful, but that's the best case scenario, because the other one is it's so old you touch it and it sticks to you and it's awful.
Oh yeah, no, I've come across that. It's unnaturally sticky all the time for no apparent reason.
It's impossible to get off unless you use isopropyl alcohol, which then takes off all the labels of the product as well.
Yeah.
So it's a disaster.
I can see that, yeah.
So Rolly Luminary, I'm not confident. I'm very sorry about that. Here's a thing. We're talking Erica Synths at the moment. And here's a headline that goes, the Pico DSP is an open source, Arduino-compatible audio development platform. So, Interestingly, it's not Erica SynthSpeak DSP. Haha, the bait and switch. It is a company called Ohmic Electronics, which is a small board that does DSP stuff. And I don't know why they've gone and called it Pico DSP. I think they're trying to, you know, pinch some Erica Synth searches to try and get some sales on their Kickstarter. Anyway, I thought that was kind of amusing. They do have a Eurorack format, but it's not Erica Synth related, if you come across it. I've just got one more thing before Pete's got a big chunk to have a chat through related to one of his... Is it one of your favourite synths?
I enjoy it quite a lot. I wouldn't say it's necessarily one of my favourites. I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, in one moment... Because if you're into your Max for Live Doobrimer Watsits, and that actually has been quite fun for me to enjoy on Ableton, the only thing I've actually opened up a DAW and messed around with maybe 3 or 4 years was just a Max for Live device. Anyway, this is the Fors kit, F-O-R-S kit, and you've got four devices. You've got Jog, which is a polyphonic notepad sequencer, which is kind of strange and weird. You've got Euclidean-ish flavors. You can chain sequences together. Stuff happens. It's obscure and strange, which is exactly what we want. You then have Pop, which is an 8-voice synthesizer with microtonal stuff, spectral morphing, modulation, harmonic shifting stuff. You have Hue and Box, which will be for filtering with Hue, which is bandpass filter, high pass filter, and some strange bits. And there is a spectral reverb called Box with vast spaces and distortion. Could be fun. I'll report back if I actually get my rear in gear and give them a go, because they are good fun, especially if you want to dive into how they're programmed and learn some stuff. Those are some synth nuggets. Pete, take us away into a firmware update.
Yes, we wouldn't normally get that engrossed in this type of news, to be honest. But Korg have released quite a dramatic firmware upgrade for the Wavestate, which I would imagine most Wavestate owners are very chuffed about.
Yeah. Oh.
So the Wavestate firmware has risen to the heady heights of version 2.0.
Lovely.
To be exact, 2.0.1.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it has dramatically changed the functionality of the Wavestate in a way that I really appreciate. And now, firstly, the thing that I want to mention is that with this firmware update, it now has the ability for you to load your own set of samples and give you the tools to prep those samples prior to this.
Oh, that's really neat. All in the same kind of application.
Yes, you can't swap the samples in and out individually. You have to do them en masse. So you have generate a sort of sample library of your own and then push it en masse into the...
Oh, it's probably transferring it via some weird MIDI coding something, isn't it?
But what you could do is just have your sample pack on your preferred computing platform and then add to it. And then every time you want to do it, you block transfer the whole lot back onto the Wavestate itself. So that is significant. I always thought when I first got it, this would be great if I could add my own samples. Yeah, yeah. Now it's available. And then secondly, they've really updated and improved the Editor Librarian application, which now has a fully functional soft version of the Wavestate that you can use to program, which sort of pulls out all the sequencing elements and displays it in one display rather than...
It'll make it so much more appealing.
Yeah, having to fish through so you can really program. Because I've always stated it's a great piece of kit. I would imagine you could mostly do a complete performance with it. Mm-hmm. And now with this firmware upgrade, I think that's making that a realistic proposition.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was my complaint about it. You jump through the presets and it sounds amazing, but there's just so much menuing and editing on the panel, quite in-depth stuff. If you want to really explore the corners of its capabilities, it wasn't really up my street.
Yes, I would imagine that you could actually take things that you've written and produced in the box and sort of, as long as
recreate them,
as you can sort of streamline them down to 4 stems and segment them, you could actually program this with your in-the-box workings.
That's a serious box there.
Yeah, it certainly is. So I have done the the firmware upgrade. I did that last night. Mm-hmm. It was quite a strenuous thing. It took me possibly an hour and a half to work through it. There were some very helpful videos on the Korg website. They're basically linked to their YouTube channel. And the description seemed pretty straightforward, but the actual reality wasn't quite as straightforward as the descriptions. Or if your wave state isn't above a certain level, which happens to be 1.0.6.
Oh, you have to do a couple in a row or something.
You had to do a sort of preamble upgrade to get it to that level initially. And that was the problem. The mode of doing it wasn't as described in the videos. Once I'd read the documents that came with the various firmware updates, it wasn't too bad. But my first hurdle was actually acquiring the firmware updates. The links in the Korg page didn't take you to anything other than copies of the manuals, but not the firmware.
Amazing. But
if I search for those firmware updates on Google, somehow was able to find them on the Korg website, and that
fished
was the
them out from wherever they were.
So that was maybe something to do with their web team.
They
haven't really updated it fully, because this firmware update seems to be so significant. It's taking, I wouldn't necessarily pride of place, but it's one of the main things demonstrated on their front page of their website, along with their product. So they really are, I think they're just as chuffed as I am about it.
Well, I reckon it's going to be something people who've overlooked the wave state might need to have a quick nosy at and maybe give it a reconsider, given how much it's going to unlock.
Yes.
Or at least make it easier to use in certain ways.
And it's also going to be good for eventually when the larger version of the wave state is released.
Oh, they're doing a 61, weren't they?
Yeah, with a decent keybed and full size.
Hopefully not Korg Zone. Just a Fat R would be nice, please. Aftertouch.
I believe it has Aftertouch on it.
Does it?
So yes.
Okay.
I think they've really gone to town with this one.
Nice.
Having said that, I would imagine it's going to be double the price for the privilege.
Probably.
I mean, it looks as though it's essentially the same control surface circuitry sitting under the chassis of a much larger keyboard.
Like those modal ones where it's just exactly the same, just stretch one side of it.
I mean, a lot of manufacturers do exactly the same. You see that in countless cases.
Saves money.
But they've made the addition of replacing some of the knobs with sort of nice metal ones with a bit more heft to them.
Premium.
So maybe, hopefully, the potentiometers and the rotary encoders might have been upgraded.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see when we actually see one in the flesh. But as usual, it's a substantial weight, as it normally is with Korg releases.
Yeah, always the way.
But so generally on the whole, I am very chuffed about this upgrade and very excited to get on and do things with it.
Excellent. Well, maybe you could do a full wave state set for us at some point in the far future.
Yes, I mean, I will do the modular thing first, sort of get the modular credentials accepted by the modular cafe fraternity.
Yeah, that's the difficulty. It is called the Modular Cafe. Modular Cafe, hold a shot on all social medias, go and find us. Yes, hooray! But we need to escape the name somewhat and just make it really clear that we're accepting of all strange forms of music and strange approaches, because that's what we really like. Modular's just really good at it. Sometimes.
Yes, well, it just does strange, doesn't it? Straight
strange
away.
Is nice and
generally
easy.
What you get out modular.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We've had a really big synth news segment this week, and there's only going to be more to come. You know why? Because Superbooth is on the way. So keep tuned to your favourite podcast, of course, because we'll be telling you some stuff. That'll be the end. The end of the podcast, but for Juan Segmentio, the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. And I'm going to go into the coffee world again. I've successfully had a week without YouTube, but here is a YouTuber for you. His name is The Real Spromethius, which would be, I guess, a portmanteau of the shortening of espresso to just Spro and Prometheus. The Real Spromethius. He does really nerdy coffee stuff reviews. And one thing that was quite interesting in a recent video, he was talking about the St. Anthony Industries C70, I believe. Similar to the Hario V60, very popular filtery dripper style coffee maker. But he thought it was a bit more forgiving. You don't quite have to nail every part of the brew to get just a really nice cup o' coffee. And unfortunately, it would be about £80 for me to get one here in the UK at the moment, so I can't give it a go. But no matter, you should check out his channel because he's got some really good stuff, including the new version of the Wakako Nanopresso, which will be really good espresso on the move should you want to do that for some reason. But there we are. That'll be me, Pete. What have you got for us?
Right, I've come across this really quite interesting YouTube channel, and it's called Andrew Masters. I'm not sure if that's a play on words or it's the gentleman's second name. I suspect because it's about recording studios, uh-huh. it's possibly a play on words, or he just has a very, I don't know, fortuitous name for someone who's involved in the recording studio business, so to speak. Now, this gentleman sort of set out and did some studio tours of other people's studios. He does other type of mic shootouts and bits and pieces like that, but predominantly the thing that's drawn me in to watching his channel are these studio tours. A lot of them so far have seemed to be in the Nashville area, but obviously mm-hmm. Nashville is a magnet for music production in the US.
Yes, indeed.
And there seems to be a real plethora of these serious sort of studios, albeit that a lot of them are actually in private dwellings. But I think that's most probably a convenient way of setting them up.
Home office. A really
good
home office.
A lot of them aren't actually dwellings anymore. They're in sort of residential areas, but the whole house is a studio with multiple rooms.
A complex, and studio complex.
They generally, the producers working out of them are relatively notable. They've got their awards and so forth. For me, it's always seeing all the glorious amounts of interesting hardware, especially the outboard. I mean, they do seem to be very guitar-y in their orientation, but the
potentially
other equipment
a
is
side effect of the Nashville
yes,
scene.
Of course, and the type of genres of music they'll be working within. But there's still a real, inexhaustive amount of other glorious pieces of equipment to cast your eyes over. I mean, some of these people have got phenomenal setups. And they are really... Yeah, have a look at that one.
Ooh. I always like that. You see the kind of the alleyway behind the control section, the main desk, even if it's not just a mixer, but then you've got that alleyway of synths.
Yes,
it's brilliant.
Leading up to it. That is quite a glorious picture, and it's quite a good...
Quite a playground.
Yes. So definitely worth a watch if you're into your recording studio hardware. The channel, as I stated earlier, is called Andrew Masters, and yes, have a watch, see what you think.
There we are, the end of episode 88. Thank you so much for listening. Please talk to us on social media, we're so lonely, and tune in of course next week to Rack Addicts After Hours. Thank you, farewell.